text that we consider this morning is 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Let's read those words of God again. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. First of all, beloved, it should be obvious to us this morning that there is a connection between our text and the immediate context here, specifically the last few verses of the previous chapter. That's indicated by the first word of our text, the word wherefore. Notice in the previous context, the Word of God speaks there of God's Word. Verse 23 through 25. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Or at least three things that are pointed out in that context. First of all, what is pointed out is that the word of God is a living and an abiding word of God. It is a word that endures forever. A word that lasts, and that will last until the end of the ages as it is preserved by God. Second thing that is mentioned there is that it's made clear to us what word is specifically spoken of. The word that is spoken of is the word of the gospel that is preached. And so when our text in verses 1 through 3 speaks of the Word of God, what our text has in mind, and we need to remember that this morning, what our text has in mind is the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the Word of God. And then thirdly, we'll notice from the context that it points out the effect of that word, the fruit of that word. Verse 23 mentions that we have been born again by the Word of God. And so the Word of God has been the means that God has used, the preaching of the Word of God, the means that God has used as that is applied by His Spirit to cause that spiritual life that is implanted in the child of God through regeneration to come to life, so that we are spiritually alive. Now, text is really the conclusion to all of that. Wherefore, or therefore, because of what the Word of God is, and because of what the Word of God has done to us, and what the Word of God does to the children of God, we must have a certain attitude toward that Word of God. And that attitude is set forth here. It is this: we must desire the Word of God. We must long for it. We must have an eagerness as the people of God to receive His Word. And so our theme then, as we look at this text together this morning, is desiring the pure Word. We'll notice three things concerning that: the sincere milk of the word, the command to desire it, and the incentive that is given. Notice our text has an interesting and at the same time a very appropriate and also a very powerful analogy when it speaks of the Word of God. And that is, when it speaks of it as the milk of the Word. I'm sure you're all familiar with a number of other passages of the Scriptures that make reference to God's Word being milk. One of them is Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews 5 verses 12 through 14 speaks of that. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There, interestingly, the Word of God compares milk to meat and makes the point that the child of God is one who ought to start off with the milk, but should be one who develops in his faith and in his understanding and in his knowledge so that he desires the meat of the Word. That same idea is also pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Those passages, both of them, the Scriptures are viewed from the perspective of the fact that sometimes there is the milk of the Word that is brought to the people of God and that they are ready to hear, but other times there is the meat of the Word of God. Well, I point out those passages to make it clear that that is not what is meant in our text when it speaks of the milk of the Word. What our text has in mind is a different analogy. It's not making a comparison between the milk and the meat of the Word, but is simply making this point clear to us, namely, that all of the Word of God is to be viewed by us as God's people as milk. Milk that is necessary for us, just as ordinary milk is necessary for those who are newborn babes, as verse 2 mentions. And so that's the picture that is before us this morning. A newborn babe is one who needs milk. In fact, that's really all that that newborn child needs. It's all that the child needs in order to grow and in order to thrive as a child. It's all that is necessary because it is that milk is what contains all the needed nutrients to nourish that baby. That baby doesn't need anything else. And that milk that is provided by a mother to that newborn child is also milk that keeps the child healthy, immune to and protected as well from sickness and from disease. And that, beloved, is how we are to view the Word of God. That's what the Word of God is to us as God's people. The preached Word, remember, the preaching of the gospel of Christ, in which the gospel of the good news of salvation is set forth, the preaching of Christ, which means that Christ himself speaks to us through that preaching, is all that is necessary for the child of God. It is, you could say, the perfect food for our souls. It is all that is necessary for us, so that we don't need other things to supplement that. This is what will give spiritual growth. This is what will provide spiritual strength to the people of God. The preaching under the blessing of God is that which will make us thrive as God's children in this world. And at the same time, it does what milk does for a newborn child, and that is, it provides spiritual immunities. It's the preaching of the Word of God, beloved, that keeps us from becoming spiritually ill and sick. It's the preaching of the Word of God that preserves the child of God from sins in doctrine and sins in life. It is the preaching of the Word of God that keeps the faith of the child of God from becoming dim and keeps us from having doubts arise in our hearts. It's the preaching of the Word of God that stops the child of God from wavering from that narrow pilgrim's way that leads to eternal life. Why does someone err in doctrine or in life? Why does a person slide into heresy? Why does one fall into grievous sins in life? Because that person is one who is not receptive to, or one who neglects the Word of God, does not truly desire it, perhaps hears it but ignores it, and therefore that person's soul is not fed. The child of God needs the milk of the Word to keep him spiritually immune to every possible sin, to keep him spiritually healthy and spiritually strong. But notice the text does not simply speak of the Word, but describes the Word as the sincere milk of the Word. The word sincere is really the word pure. Something that is unmixed, something that is unadulterated, something that has not been watered down. If a mother feeds a child, a newborn child, watered down milk, watery milk, the child will not get what it needs. The child will become weak. The child will become susceptible to illness and sickness and disease, and that is also true spiritually. So the Word of God that you and I need is pure preaching of the gospel. Know, of course, that insincere or impure milk is readily available in our day. Very subtly, that impure milk is set forth as something that is, even though it is impure, something that supposedly is pure. Milk that is milk of the Word, that is watered down preaching of the gospel because perhaps of what is not said in the preaching, watered down because of what is left out, watered down because there are truths or there are practices or there are lifestyles in people that are left alone. The preaching is weak. The preaching tolerates sin. And then there is, of course, as Satan's very subtle way of making the milk of the Word impure by introducing heresy into the preaching of the Word, preaching in which the minister, claiming to proclaim the true gospel of Christ, and even using all of the biblical terms that make what he says sound correct and accurate, is in reality feeding what you would call poisoned milk to the people of God. That kind of preaching is readily available, as you well know. And what happens today is often that kind of milk of the Word of God is made to be very appealing to the natural man and very appealing to others, because that kind of milk of the Word of God is set forth in worship services that are more lively, more exciting, where the sermons are briefer, where it is much more fun, so to speak, to worship God, and where especially the sins that are present in the lives of God's people are left untouched, left alone. And all of that amounts to this. It would be as though a mother takes milk to feed to her newborn child, and she puts within that milk poison, a little drop or two of poison at first, gradually increasing the dosage, and her aim being to kill her child. It may be true even for us that sometimes that kind of preaching of the Word of God has its appeal. Perhaps you grow weary sometimes of the pure preaching of the Word of God that is provided here. Most of us have heard it a long time, haven't we? Twice each Lord's Day for many, many years, or even for our whole life, so that we have become so accustomed to that pure preaching of the Word of God that we get a little tired of it. We can become a little complacent, somewhat disinterested, even finding the pure preaching of the Word of God a little boring. And then the Word of God that was spoken through Jeremiah concerning the old paths is something that we reject because we perhaps become interested in new paths, something new, something different. Sometimes in that desire too, there is pride on our part. This kind of pride, I'm not just going to accept what is preached. I have the ability to come up with my own ideas on things. Surely I have the right to be a free thinker and not just blindly, as it were, accept what is preached from the Word of God. Although never may it be blindly, of course, but our excuses sometimes, our thinking. But beloved, don't ever overlook, don't ever ignore, and don't ever forget the fact that God has, in His goodness, provided you here with the sincere, the pure milk of His Word. He has. Are you going to reject it? Are we going to think that we're wiser than God as regards what our souls need? Are we going to imagine that we can remain strong as the people of God in this world if we don't have this pure milk of the Word of God? Are we going to say in the pride of our hearts, my soul is strong enough to digest a little weak, watered down, or even poisonous food. It won't affect me. I'm strong enough to withstand that, so it doesn't hurt if I once in a while do not receive the preaching of the gospel that is set forth in this place and hear something else, somewhere else. I don't need sharp preaching of the Word of God because there's really not that much sin in my life. Is that what we're going to say? If we say that, and if we think that, we do so at the spiritual risk or at the risk of our spiritual welfare, our faith becoming weak, our faith dying, and we as pilgrims on this earth stumbling and falling into sin. We need the pure milk of the Word of God. We must recognize what God has provided and be thankful for it. It's not enough simply that we have the pure Word. It's not enough simply that we are here on the Lord's Day in order to hear the preaching of that Word. But as our text points out, we must have a desire. We must want to be fed by the Word of God. Notice again in that connection the analogy of a newborn babe. A newborn babe desires the milk of its mother. And that is the child's strongest desire, you could say. The child is born with that desire. That is really the only thing that the child wants. Food, milk. The child has an avid hunger for that milk. The child is one who cries out for that milk. The child is one who will even become frantic in order to receive that milk. And only when that baby receives that milk is the child satisfied and quiet, calming down and being content. And that is how it must be for us with regard to the pure gospel. Not just mildly interested in the Word of God that is preached. Not just thinking to ourselves, well, the church is there, the preaching is there, it's available if I want it and when I want it. But the point is, there must be an earnest desire for the Word of God so that we are hungry to be fed. And why must that be our earnest desire? So that we may grow thereby. Verse 2. You want to grow, don't you, beloved? You want to grow, don't you? Who really, when it comes down to it, wants simply to stand still spiritually, or who wants to go backwards spiritually, who wants his or her faith to become dimmer, who wants sin to be more prominent and more dominant in his or her life. Well, apart, beloved, from what you and I might desire concerning those things, and might desire concerning them because of our sinfulness and our sin, God does not will that for His people. His will and purpose for His people is that they grow, that they flourish like trees by the riverside, that they produce fruit in their lives, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, and He has provided the means for that, the means being the pure preaching of His Word. It's under His blessing, as He has provided that Word, that as we make good use of it, we will grow. Perhaps sometimes you think that as far as your spiritual knowledge and understanding is concerned, as far as your spiritual strength is concerned, the strength of your faith, as far as your spiritual life is concerned, your behavior, your godliness, your speech, maybe you think to yourself, you're strong enough. You don't need to grow anymore. But that's never the case for any child of God. Never. We all need to grow. We need to grow daily in our ability and power to fight the battle of faith against a foe that never lets up, and a battle which does not get easier, but becomes more and more difficult. We need to grow in the grace and strength to be faithful in our daily calling and work, whether that calling is in the home, whether that calling is within your family, whether that's the calling as parents or grandparents, whatever the calling is, we need to be growing constantly in it. We need to be growing in our wisdom, wisdom to carry out the work that God gives us to do in His church, the work as office bearers in the church of Christ, as well as the work in the office of believer in the church of Christ. The calling to live together as a communion of saints in the bond of love in Christ. We need to grow daily in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we might be comforted, so that we might be assured that we are loved of God through Him, and so that we in turn love Him more. We need to grow in sanctification, more and more aware each day of our sins, and more determined by the grace of God to fight against our sin and to be holy as God is holy. And therefore, we need and we must desire the pure Word of God. From a practical point of view, beloved, that means a number of things. It means, first of all, that your life as a child of God is a life that ought to revolve and needs to revolve around the church and the worship of God and the spiritual nourishment that your soul needs and receives through that. If you sincerely desire the pure milk of the Word, then you don't let things get in the way of that. Then there is nothing that quickly and easily prevents you from being in the house of the God, in the house of God, faithfully, every time the people of God gather to worship. You truly desire the pure milk of the Word, you don't allow anything to just keep you away and be an easy excuse not to worship. You come to the house of God, and you come as we ought to come, as those who are prepared to hear the Word of God. We don't just get up Sunday morning and quickly get ourselves ready and rush to church and then think now we can fit into our lives a little time to hear the Word of God. No, we have to come prepared, and that preparation for the child of God starts already on Saturday, really the whole week, because the whole week is a week that is one in which we look forward to worshiping God on the Lord's Day, as that day is the day that everything revolves around. And so we get a good night's sleep and we come to the house of God alert, not struggling to stay awake. We get up on time, we're ready on time, we're here on time, and we come to the house of God ready to hear the voice of Christ, because this word that God is providing for us each Lord's Day is precious to us, is important to us. And we let nothing be a quick and easy distraction for us in the worship of God, but we're focused on the Word of God so that our souls are being fed and nourished by the preaching of God's Word. Not just being in church because that's expected of us. Not just here with some kind of complacent attitude or even a critical attitude of the Word of God that is preached so that we are here to find fault or here just to endure the sermon that is preached, but we come hungry and we come with this desire and this question in our hearts: what is the Spirit of Christ going to say to me today? Never mind what the Spirit is saying to others, what is the Spirit saying to me? Me. That will flow from having a sincere desire for the pure Word of God. But that sincere desire also includes something else. Notice that too. Verse 1. Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. The Word of God is very practical here, very applicable here. The Word of God gives us a list here of things that we have to lay aside, things that we have to leave behind, things that you could say we ought to leave outside the door of the house of God. We may not bring them with us into the worship of our God. This is not just an arbitrary list of various sins that we can be guilty of, but this is a list of sins that exists between the people of God. And these are sins that if they exist between the people of God, and if we allow them to continue to exist, they make the communion of saints impossible. They disrupt the unity and the peace of the church of God. Malice does that, and guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speaking. And therefore, as these sins, if they are present in the fellowship of the people of God, disrupt that fellowship, they are sins that also disrupt the worship of God. Sins that make it very difficult, if not impossible, for the people of God to be fed by the Word. The point is this, beloved, you cannot come to church and you cannot be fed by the Word of God if you are continuing in these sins against fellow saints in the house of God. Then you're going to be distracted from having that sincere desire to be fed by the Word. You'll come to the house of God and all the time in your mind is that envy, all those evil words that you want to share with others about another member of the church of God, or the malice, the hatred, the guile, the deceit, and the hypocrisy. And so you will be distracted from worship because you will be wanting to avoid certain members, or your mind will be preoccupied with thoughts about the other members of the body of Christ whom you do not love as you ought. And you sit in church, you come to worship God, but there, sitting right in front of you, is that person against whom there is malice and envy and evil speaking that ruins your ability to hear the Word of God. Worst of all, beloved, is this, that when those kinds of sins are present amongst the people of God, the Holy Spirit is not present. We grieve the Holy Spirit because we fail to love our fellow saints. So we must lay aside all these things in order then properly to desire and to be fed by the preaching of God's Word. And finally, notice the text sets before us an incentive. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, there's the incentive. Not if in the sense of uncertainty, but literally since ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, because ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Word of God is telling us that it is a fact that we, the people of God, have tasted the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture is telling us here, you have received, you have experienced, you have felt that grace of God. You have haven't you? Think of what God has done for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. What he has given to you as an undeserving sinner. Ask ourselves, what do we deserve? What do we deserve from God when we're angry? What do we deserve from God when filthy communication comes out of our mouths? What do we deserve from God when we're guilty of hatred and adultery and of pursuing the God of pleasure? What do we deserve from God for any sin, no matter how minor we might think that sin to be? What do we deserve from God for all the sins that we commit within our hearts? What has God given us instead? In the place of what we deserve, the Lord has been gracious. Grace that has covered our sins, grace that has removed the curse of God from us, grace that has shined on us daily in everything that God gives, in everything that God does, grace that has made us heirs of eternal life, and grace that we have received through the gospel that God has preached to us and does preach to us. The grace that comforts, the grace that lifts up our souls from despair, grace that encourages us in the battle of faith, grace that strengthens us from day to day, grace that gives to the people of God peace and joy and hope. Marvelous grace. God. And the point is this, beloved, having tasted that grace, the child of God wants more. Wants more. Having experienced how great the grace of God is that has forgiven my sin, I'm not satisfied with just a little grace. I come to the house of God wanting more, wanting to hear it again and again and again. And that becomes a driving motivation to the child of God to desire the word, the pure word of the gospel of Christ. That is what we all need, even if we sometimes don't think so. The pure word of God. May every one of us then sincerely hunger after that word every week, be thankful that the Lord has provided it. Make good use of it, and may God then be pleased to use that word to feed, to comfort, and to bless our souls. Amen.